Good evening, young disciples.
Good evening, sir.
Welcome to Tuesday night. It's Tuesday night. Okay, remember what your challenge was yesterday for a memory verse to find, not a memory verse, but a verse in the Bible that talked about how every person in the world belongs to God. Did anybody find that text? Yes. Yes. Did you hear that? Ezekiel 18:4. Can you read it for us? Do you have it? Okay. Do you remember it? Remember what it says? For God says, "Behold, all souls are mine." Ezekiel 18:4. How many souls does that include?
All.
All souls are mine. I want to have us remember, since you guys are so good at memorization, I want us to memorize just one sentence, okay? And it goes like this. I'll repeat it, and then we can repeat it together. We can say it together. Every true disciple is born into the kingdom of God as a? Yes, a missionary. Okay, let's all say that together. Every true disciple is born into the kingdom of God as a missionary. Every true young disciple is a missionary, because that's what that means. Tonight we're going to read something very special that's going to turn kind of our approach to life and living. And you guys are at the age where you're starting to think, or maybe you have been thinking for quite a long time, about what you're going to do with your life. And you've heard from a lot of people, you've seen a lot of people that have what they've done with their lives, and you're thinking, what can I do with my life if I ever grow up? How many think that you're never going to grow up? I know some 13-year-olds that don't think they're going to ever get their driver's license. But you will. And you'll get to the point where driving is not so exciting. But enjoy it while you can. Okay. This is talking about maybe choosing. There are people in the world that choose to be missionaries for life. In fact, I just talked to a couple this morning, and they are planning to launch into Thailand this coming February. And they say, we're going there, and we're just not coming back. We're just going to give our lives into service. And they're looking, and their approach was, where is the greatest need? That's where we want to be. And they're having a baby on Thanksgiving Day, and 3 months later, they're going to Thailand. Pretty cool, huh? That's exciting. Okay. What constitutes a missionary call? This is by a man named Robert E. Speer. I don't know who he is, but I like what he said. What constitutes a missionary call? In other words, what makes up a missionary call? It's a good sign that people ask this question. First, because it suggests that they think of the missionary enterprise as related to the will of God. Okay? You think the missionary enterprise has anything to do with the will of God?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Second, because it indicates that they believe their lives are owned by a person who has a right to direct them and whose call they must await. Do you believe that your life is owned by someone else?
Yes, sir.
How is it owned? Why is it owned?
He bought it with his blood.
He bought your life with his blood. And not just like I cut my finger the other day and I had a little bit of blood. Not that kind of blood. It was his life blood. He died to purchase your life and to purchase my life. But when we have said these two things, I think we have said everything that can be said in favor of the question, because too often it is asked for thoroughly un-Christian reasons. For instance, Christians will pursue a profession. What is a profession? Name me some professions. Yes.
Carpentry.
Engineering, carpentry, nursing,
teaching.
Yes, very good.
Law.
Yes.
Sports playing.
Military. Is that a profession?
Law enforcement.
Okay. Yes.
Dentistry.
Law enforcement. All these things. Yes.
Aviation.
Yes.
Garbage collector.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Christians will pursue a profession here in the United States, having demanded far less positive assurance that this is God's will than it is for them to go out into the mission field. But by what right do they make such distinctions? Christianity contends that the whole of life and all services are to be consecrated. What does that mean, consecrated? Set apart for? Huh? Sanctified. Set apart for a holy purpose. Your lives have been sanctified by God for a holy purpose, and you will find your greatest fulfillment in fulfilling God's will in your lives. The whole of life, no man should dare to do anything but the will of God. And before he adopts a course of action, a man or a woman should know nothing less nor more than it is God's will for him to pursue, or her to pursue it. If men and women are going to draw lines of division between different kinds of service, what preposterous reasoning leads them to think that it requires less divine sanction for a man or woman to spend his or her life easily among Christians than it requires for him to go out as a missionary to the lost? If men are to have special calls for anything, they ought to have special calls to go about their own business, to have a nice time all their lives, to choose the soft places, to make money. How can any honest Christian say he must have a special call not to do that sort of thing? How can he say that unless he gets some specific call of God to preach the gospel to the lost? He has a perfect right to spend his life lining his pockets with money. Is it not absurd to suggest that a special call is necessary to become a missionary, but no call is required to gratify his own will or personal ambitions? There is a general obligation resting upon Christians to see that the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached to the whole world. You and I need no special call to apply that general principle in our lives. We do need a special call to exempt us from its application to our lives. In other words, every one of us stands under a presumptive obligation. What does that mean? Presumptive obligation. We just assume and we presume that we have the obligation. Okay, we're since we are disciples, since we're Christians, automatic obligation to give his or her life to the world unless we have some special exemption. This whole business of asking for special calls to do missionary work does violence to the Bible. There is the command, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We say that means someone else, other people. On the other hand, there is the promise, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We say that means me. Yes. Aliens? From space? I think if you see them, yes. God bless you. We must have a special divine indication that we fall under the command, but we do not ask any special divine obligation or indication that we fall under the blessing. Do you see the dichotomy there, the contradiction? We see the promises in the Bible to bless us, and we say, that means me, thank you, God. And we see the command to go and to give your life in service to others, and we say, oh, that just means the missionaries. You see how that kind of does violence to the Bible? It kind of takes part of the Bible and applies it to me, and the other part, it's kind of like, that's not me. When Jesus says, if any man will be my disciple, he must abandon everything and follow me. If he does not abandon everything, he cannot be my disciple. It's not just he can't be a very good disciple, he cannot be my disciple. That's Christ's words. But we kind of skip over those words, don't we? Okay, are you guys with me? Are you understanding this? Is it doing something to your heart? Is it a different way of thinking about your career? It's a very different way. I didn't grow up thinking this way. I wish I did, because I've found more enjoyment and more fulfillment and more challenge in following Christ fully and 100% and giving my career to God and saying, Lord, you direct me. And you tell me what to do, and I just want to serve you. And my highest ambition is to see as many people in the kingdom before I die. That's the only thing I care about. Everything else is temporary. The only thing that we will enjoy in heaven is our character and those that we take there, the friends that we take there. Well, why do we draw the line? By what right do we draw this line of distinction between the obligations of Christianity and its privileges? By what right do we accept the privileges as applying to every Christian and relegating its obligations to the conscience of the few? It does violence to the ordinary canons of common sense and honest judgment. What do you think of? We do not think of ordering other areas of our lives on this basis. I think this one person was representing the situation accurately when he used the following illustration. Okay, here's an illustration. Imagine you're employed by the owner of a vineyard to gather as many grapes in his vineyard as possible. The basic instructions were that just pick as many as you can. We've got a short time to harvest, and we want to see as many in the warehouse before everything rots. Okay, so you go down to the gate of the vineyard, and you found around the walls and around the gate, well-plucked, all the vines were well-plucked, and the ground was covered with people picking grapes. Yet way off in the distance, no pickers at all are in sight, and the vines are loaded to the ground. Would you need a special visit from the owner and an order to go to the place where there's more grapes to be picked and no pickers? No. You just automatically assume that. Okay? If I were standing by the bank of a stream and some little children were drowning in that creek, I would not need any officer of the law to come along and serve on me some legal paper commanding me under such and such a penalty to rescue those children. I should despise myself if I should stand there with the possibility of saving those little lives, waiting until by some legal proceeding I was personally designated to rescue them. Why do we apply, in a matter of infinitely more consequence, principles that we would loathe and abhor if anybody suggested that we should apply them in the practical affairs of life? In other words, the idea that we should wait until a special call before we become missionaries is absurd. As Christians, the call to not be a missionary should be a special call from God, an exemption from duty. For what was the last thing Christ called us to do? What did he say before he ascended up into heaven? Go into all the world. He has not canceled that call. That is still there. And that is something that each one of us is under obligation to fulfill, unless you have a very special calling from God saying, I know you want to go to the foreign country. I know you want to go where there is no light. I know where you want to go where there are no preachers and there's nobody telling them about the gospel. But I want you to stay here against your will because I want you to train others to go. But it's all about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. And as long as we keep a part of our career saying, I need a place to stay, I need clothes, I need to food to eat, then we're negating. Do you know what negating means? No, it's like canceling. We're canceling out certain promises in the Bible that he would provide for us. Matthew 6:33. Somebody say that verse by memory? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What things will he add to us? Our food, our clothing, our drink, all those kinds of things. So we're seeking, our living really is seeking those things that he's already promised to give us. So we're seeking things that he's already provided as a father. And so as you consider your career, your life ahead of you, I urge you, I call out to you, I challenge you to recognize the calling that's already on your life. There is a young man that had 4,000 people sitting in the grass around him, and he said, and they were all Christians. He says, how many of you have got a specific call from God to not go as a missionary? And he's like, one, two, okay, there's four. The rest of you are in disobedience. Because that's his standing command. And many people say, well, I don't feel called to be a missionary. Well, there's quite a few times when my children are in playing Legos or playing dollies or something, and I call them, they don't feel called. Time to clean up your room, and they just keep playing. Daddy, I don't feel called. They're still called. And you and I are still called, whether we feel it or not. And many people around you will say, don't go as a missionary. You've got to take care of your family. You've got to do this. You've got to get a good education. You've got to do all this stuff. They're not God. They're not God. You may be wondering why I have these shoes. I bought them. The shoe salesman told me that he was a student missionary when he was like 21 to 23. And the way that he financed his missionary trip was during his teenage years, when he would earn $100 mowing lawns or something like that, he'd take 10%, so he'd put $10 in his tithe account. And then he'd split the rest, put $45 in his missionary account, all during his teenage years. So when he became old enough to go on a mission trip, he financed his own way. Do we do that? No, we don't do that. You do that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This should be standard in all of our lives. Why? Because Christ is Lord. Isn't he? And we obey and believe in the Bible, which says, go. Jesus didn't come down and say, all power is given unto me, so therefore stay home and be safe. It's scary out there. You might get sick. You might get diseases. You might even become poor. Don't do that. That's scary. Stay home. Is that what he said? No, sir. No way. He did not say that. He says, my children are dying. Since the last time we had this campfire, 66,000 people died without the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That should not be. Should not be. And this may be. This, if your generation doesn't do it, then who will? If you don't do it, who will? Many people say, well, not everyone's called to the mission field. Well, somebody's got to go. At least 10%. What about 10%? Is 10% okay? What if we tithe our membership? Does that sound good? Does that sound reasonable? Tithe our membership. So at least 100,000 should go. We have a couple hundred right now. And we have a culture we need to change that looks at missions as a privilege and an obligation. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we beg your forgiveness for our indifference to those that are dying without knowing you. Forgive us for seeking our own lives in this desperate crisis that the world is under, with so many people starving, not only for food, but for a knowledge of hope of you and of hope and of a future, Father. Forgive us, Father, and change us and put your spirit within us to say, I will go. I don't care what anybody else says. I will go. Father, give me the biggest vision you have and lead me and guide me step by step. We love you, Father. We want to give you our lives, and we thank you for loving us and giving us yours first. In Jesus' name, amen.